Here we are, another strange time and another strange dispatch.
From the strange land, I'm Chuck Weiss.
And the stranger himself, and this is deep in our underwater chamber off the coast of some country we won't name, but I think this will get through several couriers before it gets to Mutiny Radio, but we're finally safe here. We can discuss the goings-ons.
Without fear of being overheard by prying Trumpian ears.
Well, I mean, then we publish it for people to hear on the internet, so I guess it's kind of counter to... Anyways, a lot's happened this way. I mean, as you know, Chuck, I'm sure anyone listening knows, Trump's not doing so hot right now.
Yeah, I think you said he has a 51% disapproval rating?
Disapproval rating. Yeah, and that's just, the most recent...
3 weeks into his administration.
Usually this is the time where presidents have the best approval rating they're going to have, because they're riding the high of their win, and he's not doing so hot. It can only go down from here, and some polls... had him. Some polls always, he's like maybe a point ahead. I think this is the overall average. Some had him like 10 points down. So, yeah, he's really hurting. And it's because he's making poor decisions. That's what happens.
Poor decisions. Well, that's a good euphemism.
He's creating a lot of stir, right? Buzz around town, I guess you'd say, because of his hateful agenda based on fear and bigotry. That too. And it's affecting people already. He had this demand in his executive order. By the way, isn't it fun that Republicans made a big fuss about Obama's executive orders, and now they think it's just hunky-dory?
Oh, yeah.
The rule by decree. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine that it's our guy. Well, he's... signed an executive order to end travel from 7 majority Muslim countries. None of the ones that he had any dealings with.
So you're talking about the Muslim ban. That's not a ban.
It's not a ban. It's not a Muslim ban, but it's a ban. And it's on Muslims.
The ban.
The ban. Not the ban. But he did. But they. Good Trump called it a ban. And then Sean Spicer called it a ban. Then Sean Spicer said, it's not a ban. No one called it a ban. And then Trump called it a ban in a tweet. So it's banned. It's against Muslims. People are reportedly being asked for their ethnicity, religion. Obviously national origin is known. But, this is not what America was all about. I'm pretty sure Captain America would have a problem with this. So, I don't know. Well, white nationalists were happy about the announcement.
I'm sure they were.
They were ecstatic. Some said they felt like crying with joy over the ban from those majority Muslim countries. The virulent racist writers said that Trump, they praised him for stopping these disgusting animals, one said. And I'm sorry, these are quotes. I'm sorry. Sneaky sand people is what they called them. Then a neo-Nazi writer even suggested, this is from the Daily Stormer, which you should never go to, they said that they should kill anyone who's protesting the ban. And there are lots of protests, thank God. Actually, here in San Francisco and many other, Los Angeles, many other places, but airports were pretty much shut down by the number of protesters there and lawyers trying to get in and help people who were... at risk of not being able to get into the country and being stopped there at the airport. So a lot of chaos, confusion, people who are doctors and at least one, I think, ACLU attorney and people that are just, fathers and mothers and kids separated from families and I think one clarinetist for some, symphony. Just all these people that need to just come in and do their jobs, right?
They're even asking for their... taking their cell phones and demanding the PIN numbers.
Yeah.
And they deported this one mother, left her children, deported the mother because she had pictures of her mosque on her phone.
Yeah, but, it's not a Muslim ban. It's not, dealing with Muslims at all.
I'm sure they'd done the same if you had a picture of your church or synagogue.
Sure. Well, these sick right-wingers, right-wing nut jobs are happy. The Daily Stormer said they had ecstatic joy. They said that Trump should arrest a federal judge and kill protesters, saying by the end of the month, we should have the rails laid, the camps built, and the gas flowing like Febreze.
Oh, God.
That's what the Daily Stormer, which is part of this right-wing echo chamber, had to say. David Duke said this was the greatest year ever. Hashtag Muslim ban. They're calling it a Muslim ban. They don't have any compunction with, you know, calling it whatever the coded phrase, the code phrase is. As you know, David Duke is a white nationalist radio host, former KKK leader. He's praised these kind of things before. The official KKK newspaper, of course, called The Crusader, had already previously endorsed Trump's campaign. So, yeah. Obviously, a lot of protests, people against it, a lot of people out there doing good work, and that's really important. Before we give, you know, the good news about that, of what's happened.
Oh, there's good news?
Yeah, this, you know, just recently. But I do want to say there is another group besides these Nazis and KKK people that really, really, really love the idea of a Muslim ban.
Who would that be?
That would be, hold on, I have their name here. ISIS?
ISIL.
Yeah, you know, most of us are protesting this here in America, and I'm sure most Muslims around the world are upset, but the people who are loving this, love this narrative, are the leadership, the groups of ISIS, who want to basically do the same thing that these right-wingers want to do. They want to have this revisionist history. They want to erase the idea that Americans and Islam have had this long relationship together, going back to, you know, to not just the Treaty of Tripoli, but the encouragement of, you know, I think one of the first supporters of America was the Prince of Morocco at the time, right? People don't, we think, oh, France is our longest ally. Some of these other countries were as well. And I'm not saying culturally we were always in lockstep or in sync, but certainly, but there was an encouragement of bringing people in at the time. You know, yeah. It was written down officially by Thomas Jefferson, who had a copy of the Quran himself, that, you know, we will not have any, since we are not a, you know, religious nation. We
right.
Will
there
not
was a
have
letter
any
to the Barbary Coast.
Yeah. You know, we have no animosity or whatever the word they used that was right. Against the Muslims is what they called them yeah. at the time. Right. So, this is this long history of this. And ISIS wants to deflect away from that. It doesn't fit into their propaganda narrative that this great Satan, that's the West, both Europe and America, is against us. It's the same narrative that these groups like the KKK and the alt-right say about them, right? And we want to have this cultural war. We want a new crusade. That both of these sides that want supremacy because they're all fascists.
Yeah.
Just different versions, different flavors at the this terrible Baskin-Robbins you don't want to go to.
And on a certain level, I'm sure they realize they need each other.
They love this. You think that when there's a terror attack that is committed by a Muslim that Trump doesn't love that?
Yeah.
You know, these guys around him, of course, they know they can capitalize on it. ISIS is doing this. ISIS has been using Trump in their recruitment videos
yes.
since he announced his candidacy and started saying shit about, you have to dip your bullets in pig's blood when you shoot Muslims, and you have to go after the families of terrorists, and we need more torture, and all this bullshit. Oh, they just clipped the audio of him saying that and put it in their propaganda video. It's that easy. So they absolutely are loving this. You know, if they didn't just straight up engineer some of the details of what happened in Paris at the concert venue, that trying to make it framed like it was a refugee when it actually wasn't, then, you know, that they know that when they poke the other side, and I'm talking about both groups, that perpetuates this endless war. We've always been at war with the other side. Of course, they know the playbook. Anyways, obviously, also these refugees, by the way, are fleeing ISIS. They do not want to be there because those are the people who are killing them. So by sending them, I remember this said more than once, but conservative friends of mine, I'm not talking about right wing nut jobs. I mean reasonable conservatives, but they just disagree with me on things. And one of them said, you know, ISIS, really, they're as bad as the Nazis. Hey, I'm going to be calling people Nazis quite a bit. So I was like, okay. And they're bad. They're killing people. I mean, there's, you know, genocide of the Yazidis, beheadings, you know, setting people on fire in a cage that's suspended. Yeah. Terrible. Pieces of shit. To a man. And I was like, okay, then if they're Nazis, or as bad as Nazis, or approaching Nazis, right? I don't think they have the body count yet. But, why would you send the refugees trying to escape them back? Then you're essentially saying you would have sent the Jews back. Or you don't care about the victims of genocide. Or
we did.
We did. You're absolutely right.
The St. Louis was a ship chartered by Jews who had the money to buy their way out of Germany. And they went from port to port and finally refused everywhere around the world. Came to the United States, were refused here, went back to Germany.
We should stop until that's gone. Okay, there's a siren. So you should back up.
Went back to Germany, and many of them hung themselves on deck, and the rest went to the camps. Yes, we did turn Jews away during the war.
There is a... You'll be happy to know that there is at least a major, I think it's well-followed Twitter project to remind people and document, pay homage to the victims who were sent back on the St. Louis manifest. And
my father interviewed, he was in Cuba waiting admittance to the United States from Germany. My father was a Holocaust survivor. And he worked for a Cuban newspaper. And he wasn't allowed to board the ship, but he at dockside, he was interviewing passengers at the railing and had a series of articles written from his transcripts. And he's very proud of that to the day he died.
Yeah. I mean, this is important that people know these stories and that we do draw the groups like this and shows like our, like we draw this parallel. That these injustices that anyone looking back, any reasonable non-Nazi person, would look back at that and say, oh, that's a national embarrassment. That's really bad. That human nature and the fucking crass, fearful people, bigoted people at the time wouldn't save the lives of innocent refugee people, just victims of this injustice. And it's happening now. A lot of people are not taking a sitting down, right? By the way, those seven countries, not only the ones that Trump doesn't have investments in, of Muslim-majority countries, five of those seven countries are ones that we are currently bombing. So, that's a nice fuck you.
We're over halfway there anyway.
We're bombing you, and you can't come, you can't get it, you're stuck. Well, Attorney General, former, now, Acting Attorney General, Sally Yates has stepped down, just pretty much forced from her job because she was going to take a moral stand and direct the Department of Justice not to enforce this ban. So she was forced out.
The another set Monday Night Massacre or whatever it was.
Well, I think we talked about the State Department officials who all resigned prior to that, and this is happening because they just can't stand for this thing. Now, the good news, right? The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has found that the ban is unconstitutional. And it's the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. There's only one more place, I think, to go from here, right? They would have to take it to the Supreme Court. So this is, they've said, no, we're not going to enforce this travel ban. You cannot uphold this travel ban. This is clearly unconstitutional. And they identified, I think, specific states where they had evidence for that. The ACLU and these other groups, I don't know who was actually called this in particular, but or brought this to court, but these groups said on day one, we'll see you in court, right?
Trump even tweeted it.
Trump has to copy those people. He's a low energy, exhausted, sad. He's a poor little copycat because his response to the court, or the judges of the court, was "I'll see you in court."
All in caps.
Oh, in no.
Tweet.
You tell appellate court that just made its decision. I'll see you in court. See them in Supreme Court? No, he's also gone on to say all these terrible... He said, oh, this is a so-called judge. No, you know, when there's this much, many questions about your legitimacy from possibly tampered ballots and no hand recount and machines that were suspiciously... Then the Russian influence and who knows what else. You're the so-called president, dude. You're not... You don't have a moral stand here or any kind of footing to say... so-called judge, who was, I think, a Bush appointee anyway.
Yeah, you're talking about the original judge.
That's right, who did before the Ninth Court.
Before
yeah.
the Ninth.
I forget the name, but yes, that's the first judge. And, you know, he's just been contemptible of the judiciary, which is one of the most important checks on power that we have in our system, our democracy. So they're just saying they don't like democracy. Good to know.
Well, even the new the Supreme Court nominee that he's put up criticized Trump for his disapproval of the justice system mm-hmm. publicly.
Yeah. Well.
So he's at odds with his own Supreme Court justice nominee.
Until he finds somebody else, yeah. We'll see. We're talking about the really tragic case of the Jewish refugees who were sent back in World War II. We might have a rash of anti-Semitism in the White House soon.
There's always been an anti-Semitic, strong anti-Semitic strain in the high levels of government.
The halls of power,
in this country. Not only did we send the St. Louis back, but we knew the death camps were in operation. We knew the train routes they were taking the prisoners Eichmann was using to transport them. Later, when asked why they didn't bomb those rail lines, they said, well, that would have taken away sorties from military targets.
Right. Important things. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. God damn. Well,
so, I mean, that... that's a bullshit answer.
Of course.
A total bullshit, and only serves to make vivid the reality that anti-Semitism was the cause mm-hmm. of turning away the St. Louis, of not bombing those rail lines. There were so many people in power who were sympathetic.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah, think of this, the celebrity billionaire, I guess they weren't billionaire, but the celebrity industrialists of that time, Walt Disney, Henry Ford,
yes.
Right, and Charles Lindbergh.
Hitler had a picture of Henry Ford in his office.
Charles Lindbergh organized political rallies and campaigns to not have the U.S. go into World War II because he was sympathetic to the Nazis, and a lot of people were. And you know what their slogan was? Never guess. America first.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pro-Nazi movement in America used the America First logo. And actually, in Germany, from the translation, there was Germany First.
There were big names that were sympathetic to the Nazis. Charles Lindbergh.
Yeah, I was saying he's organized a lot of those, yeah.
He went to Germany and did a visual inspection of the Luftwaffe. Mm. And you know what they did? This was when they only had a few planes. So he enough to fill one airport. So they bring in Lindbergh. He inspects the airport. It's filled with planes. Fine. So while they're driving, the planes take off, mm-hmm. land at the other airport that he inspects. Mm-hmm. He inspects the same fucking airplanes over and over again. Comes back and says they are unbeatable.
Still to this day, I mean, this is what we have to deal with. And at least previous presidents like Obama... when they would give a speech and other presidents on a day like on Holocaust Remembrance Day would mention, I don't know, give a mint, just throw a little bone to the Jews, right? Because they're kind of, I mean, I get it. Lots of other people, the Roma and gays. And
all that money, man. You don't want to piss them off. You should mention.
Communists. Everybody was, a lot of people were killed, but come on, that's kind of a big one. Trump, in his speech, didn't mention him.
Not at all.
And Reince Priebus actually defended the statement and stood by it, so they wouldn't have said any different. But that soft sort of, they, you can maybe consider it a dog whistle to the sort of soft peddling of Holocaust denial. Or just, or minimizing
well,
Holocaust.
Do our memory is so short. Do we remember when H.W. Bush, Sr., went to Germany and visited the special cemetery for SS?
Wow. Wow. I know Justin Bieber went to the Anne Frank house and made an embarrassment of himself. Of course. But that, because that's who he is, but... yeah, I mean this downplaying of Jewish genocide. They say, oh, it's not as many people as you think, or Hitler wasn't so bad. All this bullshit that's like the soft kind of fucking Nazism light, right? This is what's kind of being peddled by the alt-right people that are higher up in power. So I could absolutely see someone like Steve Bannon, former head of Breitbart, and now Trump putting him on his National Security Council and telling the regular National Security Council people not to show up, right? Like, I think it's the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, right? Yeah, more on that later. But this is what's going on. I mean, we have an administration that is clearly... this shooter at the mosque in Quebec... The right-wing extremist who was a Trump supporter and, by all accounts, expressed far-right, anti-Muslim, anti-immigrant, anti-feminist views, and was a Trump fan and Marie Le Pen fan. When they thought it was a Muslim that did it, I guess Muslim-on-Muslim violence in Quebec... But when Fox News ran with that story, oh, someone named Muhammad, when really that was a witness being questioned by the police, said, oh, someone named Muhammad, and he's of Moroccan origin, so both shooters, two shooters. No, it was just the one shooter, and he was a racist right-winger. And then they suddenly shut up. Trump didn't say anything about it. The White House kind of went with the Fox version of it at first. But then they all clammed up. Trump hasn't tweeted. You know, he's got time to tweet about everything else. Any other attack they'll talk about, but... not that one. It's just kind of suspicious, is all I'm saying. He killed six people. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. The Alexandre Bissonnette. And, goddamn. Yeah, a former friend of his said he really liked Trump and had a permanent grudge against the left. He was very right-wing and ultra-nationalist white supremacist. Is what they're saying. So, Donald Trump Jr., by the way, if there's any doubt that he's a scumbag, he retweeted a lot of the stuff that the shooters were Muslim Moroccans, even though that was absolutely not true. Even worse, Dan Adamini, Michigan Republican Party official, tweeted, are you ready for this?
I don't know.
A Kent State solution should be applied to left-wing protesters.
Yeah.
Do for people who don't know what happened in 1970.
Kent State, yes. Vietnam War protest. The National Guard was called in and stood on a knoll, grassy knoll, and fired into the crowd, live bullets, was ordered to do so, and four students died. Four died in Ohio. Was a famous song.
So he's saying we need these uppity protesters, right? We need more. We need a little more of that. He later said, "Oh no, that's not what I meant."
There's an attack on protesting protesters. Period. It's made to seem un-American now.
Yeah.
And North Dakota is considering a law. Mm. I'm told they haven't voted on it yet.
Keith Kempernich. Yeah, Kempernich, I have that here.
Who's introduced a bill that would let drivers run down protesters blocking roads and other thoroughfares so long as it's a, quote, accident.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Gee, my foot slipped.
Mm-hmm.
And it went into reverse and ran over other
people. Yeah, it's shifting the burden of proof from the motorist to the pedestrian.
Right, to the victim.
Which doesn't make any sense. Because one of them has, you know, tons of metal hurtling it.
Other states are considering bills to bill protesters for the money spent on the police to oversee the protests, mm-hmm. all the militarization and stuff, the bill. So your right to freely assemble and protest the government has to be purchased now. If you don't have the money to pay for it, you shouldn't protest.
The man who in North Dakota is passing that law, do you know his motivation? No.
Somebody protested him? What?
His mother-in-law was inconvenienced while driving through around a group of protesters. His mother-in-law. Seems like that's kind of a cuck move. All right.
Well, she is a mother-in-law.
By the way, this has been revealed. The FBI is investigating activists in North Dakota, the protesters of the Dakota Access Pipeline. The FBI has turned their focus onto the indigenous activists, the water protectors, environmentalists that are there to protest.
Who's the head of the FBI now?
Oh, I feel like I need a chart, like a rogues gallery, right? And just kind of color code the threat level of each of them. I don't have that in front of me. But yeah, the purpose of their inquiries is unknown, but it seems suspicious based on the timing. The scope of the task force that they've assembled, we don't know. But the agency officials declined to comment, so... I mean, of course, they're just all going to do this in cloak and dagger, right?
Yeah. I think we should call the FBI the Gestapo for now.
But there's so many agencies. The Department of Homeland Security, how about... ICE?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, the...
This is from earlier today. In a Friday afternoon press release, ICE said 160 immigrants were arrested during what it called a five-day targeted enforcement operation in Southern California. They picked up people from their homes, from their places of work, including a Target store, some people just shopping, and then this happens. This was what's called the first round of the Trump-era deportation sweeps. Activists held a vigil at the downtown field office of ICE in Los Angeles, and supposedly 100 to 150 protesters blocked the highway on-ramp. So, you know, badass, awesome to do that. But it's really scary what these Border Patrol people can get away with. I mean, a lot of Americans don't know the law. It's not just at the airport with refugees and even just... They were going after, you know, legitimate visa holders and people with green cards even,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that's what was causing a lot, you know... The acting attorney general was like, what are you talking about? And then, but, you know, when it comes to people who are working here, even if they're undocumented, they have rights. And they don't know that. They don't know the facts in this case. So... most Americans, especially the non-Americans who are here, they're not aware of the letter of the law. And you know, as you're saying, they take their phones and PIN numbers and look into their phones for stuff. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
which is against the law.
Thank God people are doing everything we can. I mean, there's a variety of tactics and things. I don't support violence. I think violence is only justified against violence. So if somebody's being assaulted, then absolutely grab that person, pull them away from the person who's doing the violence. But I don't agree, for example, with the masked people in Berkeley.
No, pulling somebody off of somebody being attacked is
right.
Not violent.
That's not violent. You're right.
No,
that's. But I'm saying
plummeting the person into the cement.
Sure, but I'm saying defense for the defense of yourself and others. Right, it's justified. But going I don't give a shit about broken windows and trash cans set on fire. Fires are bad. Smokey the Bear taught me that. I get it. But broken windows. Can we all agree the broken windows theory was bullshit? And if protesters do it. It's not what I would do.
Property damage is now being listed as terrorism.
Oh, totally. Because clearly that's the same thing as somebody getting stabbed, right?
Right.
But in Berkeley, reportedly, there were a couple people assaulted, at least. And they weren't even not that it matters, but they weren't even the people that were supposedly targeted. That, you know, that were Nazis or right-wingers or for those who don't know, there was a riot in Berkeley after the majority of the night, the majority of the people being peaceful protesters, right, because of a protest against this fucking neo-Nazi alt-right guy that was going to speak at Berkeley. And right. Berkeley was going to let him speak. They warned and said, groups were saying, please don't let him speak, but they were committed to letting him speak. And then the police came in and said, no, you have to shut this down, you have to cancel this because of what's going on. There are people in the street that... all right. Now, the people who were causing the violence and allegedly were anarchists and self-described anarchists using black bloc tactics, they were all masked. Mm-hmm. And people there, actually people I know who reported this to me directly, I wasn't in Berkeley that night, but as well as noted more people in Berkeley, including former Labor Secretary Robert Reich, who's an instructor there, right? They said that they didn't recognize, I mean, even masks, like, these didn't seem like Berkeley students, right? I know they're masks, they could be, but they seemed like they were paramilitary movements, and the way they absolutely seemed like outsiders. Across the board, that's what people are saying. Yeah. Who knows what their actual politics are or reason.
Provocateurs, that's a favorite tactic.
To make it
against the protesters.
Yeah, to make it look like there's this violent,
right?
You know, or who knows? Maybe they're just some fucking assholes on the left. We don't know. But anyways, this is what's allowing Trump and these people to, you know, and certainly that dick who was going to speak there to perpetuate this. We're the victims. You know, we're the underdogs. And look at the regressive left and how it's fighting against us.
Oh yeah, well you know that George Soros paid $3,000 per protester, right? Right.
Man, how come I don't get any of this George Soros money that's apparently infinite? You know, but there's all these people clutching pearls over, oh, a Nazi got punched. Not in that instance, but we talked prior about Richard Spencer getting punched. What? What? I saw a great, fake news. I saw a great satire article online that was, did you ever play the video game Wolfenstein?
Never heard of it.
It's an old school arcade game, very old, blocky kind of graphics. They've updated it since then, but you would go through a castle, and you had all these guns, and your idea was to kill Nazis. That was it. You were shooting Nazis. So there was a set of, the new version of Wolfenstein is going to have a system where you have to try to reason with the Nazis first before you resort to violence. While they're shooting at you, I'm sure. Oh, man. Things are just getting worse and worse. Trump keeps lying about voter fraud, right? Saying not only the however many million people, whatever number, he's like, whatever the exact number is that I lost in the popular vote, whatever that ends up being, that's the number. That plus one is the number of fraud votes, and they're all for Hillary. Not a single one. Statistically, this makes sense. This is totally in keeping with how reality works. Trump was saying, you know, the campaign was going to be rigged, right? And then it's notable, too, by the way, he already lied. He's lied so many times. He said that he would abide. He was trying to be a smartass. He's like, I'll accept the results of the election if I win. But then he didn't. He lied about that. He did. He's sitting there saying, no, it's still fraud. 3 million fraudulent votes in this election. What? You're a piece of shit. And now he's going on to say that in, I think it was in New Hampshire, that there were thousands of people that were bussed in, you know, paid, I'm sure, to go vote illegally. Like, what? What are you talking about? No, there wasn't. There's no evidence for any of this. But these types of tactics are obviously to gin up. I mean, he probably doesn't know why he's doing it, but he's just, yeah, okay, yeah, it's for his ego, right? But these really, it's people like Chris Kobach and Hans von Spakovsky. These are American anti-voting activists, right? And Chris Kobach is a close advisor to Trump. He's had a hand in everything from, you know, dealing with ALEC to write the legislation to shut down voting rights and the cross-check system and all these things. They absolutely have an agenda here to make it seem like this widespread voter fraud exists. That's a big problem. It's entirely manufactured. There's no statistical voter fraud problem in this country anywhere. But This is laying some more groundwork for that. Is having, oh, hey, remember when Trump said that? So the more ridiculous we all point out that it is, right, that it's a lie, hopefully that helps. We need to continually hammer that these guys are liars. They're lying. In the end, anyways.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know that's going to really make a difference. Yeah.
People love the lies.
Yeah, I mean, in Germany, too. I mean, they... when Hitler was saying the Jews were the cause of the downfall of Germany, yeah. and they come out and fact-checking that there's no evidence of that, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. Logic doesn't make any difference to his people because they operate from an emotional base, not a thinking frame of mind.
I remember reading recently, there were biologists, psychologists, scientists in the time in Germany who were at the forefront of this line of inquiry, scientific method, to say that there is absolutely nothing, you know,
genetically
wrong or like inferior about trans people.
Right.
And that was ready to like go mainstream as an idea at the time, but the Nazis came along with all the other things they did. They stamped it out, and it took. How long for that to become the thinking again? That there's anomaly or depravity, or it's just a normal expression of human biology.
Right.
And it took us, Jesus, better part of a century to get back to that. That's what people like this, they're so regressive and reactionary. Actually, their philosophy is, they call neo-reactionary. That they don't, you know, lies, fraud, cheating, brutality, all this stuff. This is, they want these to be their tactics.
Yeah, that's all admissible in pursuit of their goal. Mm-hmm. The means do justify the ends.
Or the ends do justify the means. Now, we knew some of this was happening, but I want people to know the extent of how bad this is. So, bear with me for a second. There was this executive order, obviously, and, part of these series of executive orders he did was in his war against illegal immigration, even on this down to the personal level. Trump was going to publish a weekly list of crimes by specific undocumented immigrants in sanctuary states and sanctuary cities.
Right.
Just to shame or humiliate them or say, like, you know, this is, you know, there, look how bad it is there. You know, this is all propaganda, right? But really, what does that sound like? Publishing a list of crimes by this opposition group?
This is what the Nazis did about Jews.
They absolutely did. They called... this is essentially the two-minute hate, right? From 1984. In fact, this is very similar to what Steve Bannon had on Breitbart. They had a section called Black Crime.
Right.
And I believe they still do. And it's replicating this in the White House. So just, you know, putting that racial resentment into the very hyper-focused way that they present these crimes, as they're going to do with Muslims. They're saying, you know, and certainly back in Germany, there was a Nazi paper called Der Stürmer. That's what the Stormfront site takes theirs from. They had a department called Letterbox. Readers were invited to send in stories of supposed Jewish crimes and would publish them. They would include horrific graphic illustrations as well. And they had a lighter version of it, this Nazi light, racism light, in their New Vogue, which was, it's like their Life magazine or Look magazine. It highlighted Aryan families with beautiful homes and children. And then they would also run a feature about the criminal Jew, right? This, the exact same thing, repeating itself, with just different groups. In Chicago, you know, all those black people in Chicago, or look at all these immigrants in California. Oh, it's like, yeah, because you're amplifying these few stories. Oh, there was one terror attack by a Muslim, so. Ignoring, by the way, all the ones committed by any kind of right wingers, or white nationalists, as we've said. They just don't want to cover it. The reason I'm saying all this stuff, the reason I'm pulling all these sort of, you know, there's alt-right people, Nazi elements in here, Chris Kobach, the anti, you know, Jeff Sessions, all these people, the thing that is really frightening to me is the person who's behind it all. And I know you've said, other people have said, they think Mike Pence is the real president. And it's on certain items, sure. But the guy that I'm really worried about is Steve Bannon.
Well, he is the Nazi. He is anything really totalitarian or Nazi-like is from his desk. Mm-hmm. Bannon is the corporatist, big money guy. The reason Goldman Sachs is so well represented in the cabinet is because of Pence.
Well, Bannon was a Goldman Sachs guy too at one point. So
right.
Yeah.
Right.
He's got his little fucking dirty fingers and toes in every fucking dirty pie.
But together, they are forming the Trump administration.
Right. I mean, yeah, the swamp is overflowing, and it's all these, you know, ExxonMobil is represented, the fine representatives from all these other groups.
But the Muslim ban, the whole hate rhetoric.
Yeah.
You're right, that is Bannon.
And that's the frightening part, because they can underestimate that, just like the German government did with Hitler, and then all before you know it, here we are.
And Bannon's smart.
I don't think he's evil. He's an evil genius. That doesn't mean, he's not stupid. I don't know if he's a genius, but he's the chief strategist for a reason. Anyways, he's now, like, on this National Security Council, he's been called a hardline, he's been called an extremist even by hardline conservatives. We know that he has this white ethno-state agenda based on things that he's talked about on, you know, things on Breitbart. But also, he wrote a script to a fantasy film.
Oh.
His own idea, right?
Scriptwriter, huh?
Yeah, he called it a fundamental clash of civilizations between the West and Islam. Now, if you switch any of this, this sounds like ISIS propaganda, right? But, I mean, I really want people to think about that.
This is a fantasy, like Middle Earth or something?
No, I mean, just his, like, his personal future, kind of like a dystopian, apocalyptic, you know, disaster movie,
like
I think.
A Nazi Middle Earth?
Yeah, well, he said, "We're at the very beginning stages of a very brutal and bloody conflict." He's also said, "Islam is not a religion of peace." Sure. Right. No, there's no peaceful Muslims, right? We have to take care of this. This is separate. He said, actually, this was in a different kind of web-based interview he was giving. "We have to take care of this fifth column. There's clearly a fifth column here in the United States that needs to be dealt with immediately." In a interview in Vanity Fair, Bannon called Trump a blunt instrument for us. Whoever the us is. I don't know whether he really gets it or not. So he's said before that he's proud that he's ignorant of the ideas about, you know, Islam, the Quran, about Sharia. But he's constantly bringing them up. He's bringing up the word Sharia when he's discussing Muslim immigrants, even though he doesn't... He thinks, oh, they're imposing Sharia law, but if you asked him what it was, he wouldn't know. He's said in interviews how much he admires the darkness, Satan, Darth Vader influencing... this is now a guy who's going to have control over major decisions of war, right? On the National Security Council. And he thinks Darth Vader is a nice, snappy guy. Snappy dresser.
We had someone else recently in charge of big, important...
And behind the man behind the president, yeah. But back to this idea of this kind of holy war between the West and Islam, right? By the way, attacks by Muslims were only responsible for 1/3 of 1% of all murders in 2016. So if you're just looking at, am I likely, of if I'm going to be murdered, what's my odds it's going to be by this thing that clearly is the scariest thing ever? 1/3 of 1%. Okay, we should have it all be zero, but just so you know. This is not, you know, George W. Bush called Islam a religion of peace. Obama didn't want to use the word Islamic to refer to the terrorists perpetrated by ISIS because that's what they want. They want to call themselves the spokespeople for Islam and gain legitimacy as a caliphate. And he didn't want to give them that because why would you give your enemy the propaganda tool that they want, right? So he refused to do that. That's not going to be the case. I mean, Trump keeps saying Islamic radical jihad terror, bad refugee, bad hombre guys. It's a string of bullshit. Bannon has wanted this, even though Trump may not get it or know what it is. I mean, he has said it's war. This is from Breitbart. It's war every day. We put up America's at war. America's at war. We're at war. And they mostly mean Islam. I mean, it includes these other groups like secularization, atheism, liberal millennials.
Oh, I see. Liberal atheists are just as bad as racists. Right.
The press, you know, journalists, journalism, activism, any of that stuff. But really, most of the time they're talking about there's this Islamo-fascist state, right? So I guess the best response is to become fascists here, but that's what they wanted anyways. Clearly, when you look at the alt-right, I mean, he made him, he's the platform for the alt-right. They clearly are pro-fascist at the, you know, even the ones that aren't explicitly Nazis, they're pro-fascist. His fantasies are of turning the culture war that Fox News is always screaming about into an actual war. Mm-hmm. That's dangerous, and he's in charge of national security on some level.
Well, certainly if you can sell that such a war is happening or about to happen, the idea of what is it when you take over military law is the
martial law?
Martial law.
Yeah, right? Oh, yeah. More executive orders granting even more power to lateral authority for police to act. That's another. I mean, this is continual. Every day, it's more things. And these are not typical conservatives that, you know, are corrupt and corporatist. I mean, they're all these things also, but they're not just like, we want to preserve the existing order and our traditional morals and all that. These are people who want to upset the order. They don't believe in democracy, right? They absolutely find political crisis something to their advantage, like Kent State. They would love to see these Washington, D.C., academia, all these institutes of the left explode in the United States. He believes in all of these crazy, weird theories, these neo-reactionary theories about this. So, and we know like what he's written about and what he's given talks about or interviews about. This is something else that he said. We are in an outright war against jihadist Islam and Islamic fascism. He then condemned the immense secularization of the West, the increasing secularism among millennials. He stressed to, I guess this is a speech, people in this room and the people in the church must bind together and really form what I feel is an aspect of the church militant. People might think of the faith militant from Westeros, from Game of Thrones, right? A church militant to really be able to not just stand with our beliefs, but to fight for our beliefs against this new barbarity that's starting that will literally eradicate everything that's been bequeathed over the last thousands of years. You know, so basically, you know, we're the white man, of course, had all the cool inventions, and we're the rightful heirs of modern civilization and Western, ignoring that secularism and scientific method and multiculturalism and the advances of the Middle East while Europeans were still shitting in their hands, yeah. Right? You know, or all of the inventions from China, like ignoring all of that. We get this new thing, and the other side, they're barbarians, and they've proven it, and we hate them, and look how terrible they are. They're slaughtering us, with the stories that we repeat on Breitbart, He said that, he articulated a view of the world as a constant conflict between the capitalist Judeo-Christian West, which he sees as a benevolent force of enlightenment, and the malevolent forces of socialism, atheism, and Islam. This is the same guy who has called the press the opposition and has said that they deserve humiliation. And reportedly, he's not only been going around and like trying to intimidate and yell at generals or people who have positions of authority in the government, but he personally was the one that overruled the Department of Homeland Security decision not to include green card holders in that travel ban. The Muslim ban. So, acting attorney general or whomever was saying, no, we're not going to do that. That's stupid. They're green card holders. He said, no, you do it. Because they ain't white. And supposedly they were trying to vet to let Christian immigrants in. So, Steve Bannon, former Goldman Sachs executive, Breitbart News chief, is basically running the government while our president argues with Saturday Night Live. and Hamilton and actresses and people on Twitter. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, which is probably just a
branding thing. Well, the white supremacist strain actually extends beyond Bannon in the cabinet, at least to the new Attorney General.
Yeah.
Who was quoted as saying about the KKK, he didn't think they were too bad until he found out they smoked pot.
Oh, Jeff Sessions. Yeah. Yeah. So there's different, like I said, different flavors of this fascism. You know, 51 flavors or whatever. This is bad. This is really bad. And I have actually here the positions that... So he's on the National Security Council, Bannon. But they have officially asked the Director of National Intelligence and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to only attend meetings when, quote, issues pertaining to their responsibilities and expertise are to be discussed. So they're having meetings secret from the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Director of National Intelligence. So the Intelligence Committee and the military are not to be included in this, you know, coup that they're planning to destroy our democracy. This is not somebody who is an impartial, you know, nonpartisan, factual intelligence or military person as it's supposed to be. This is a partisan person, and hyper-partisan to the level that, I don't even think he's a Republican, he's a fucking Nazi. Or whatever the alt-right, whatever they're going to call it. Right, whenever they pull the trigger on this?
You know, I don't like calling it alt-right. I don't like calling it neoliberal. all of these terms that don't...
Neo-reactionary, yeah.
Because, I mean, what's neoliberal? New liberal. Well, I didn't like the old liberal. Maybe the new liberal is okay.
Well,
I don't like the way the right is going. Maybe the alt-right is
no, well, this is what... you're right. But what we're doing on this show and what I think people should do is you do say it and also make sure you say they're fucking neo-Nazis, they're neo-Confederates, right? These are people who are in favor of the same policy, a continuation of Confederate genocidal policies and Nazi genocidal policies. So as long as you clarify, it is important to use the word so that when people see them come up, they can have heard this and remember that, right? Because it's going to happen. They're going to just encounter, you know, there's an article about neo-reactionaryism and Bannon's dabbling, his belief in that as a philosophical thing. That's more the quote unquote. I mean, I don't know how fascists have a philosophy. It's just brutal, you know, iron fist, but that's important for people to research and know. So you do need to know the words of what these people are claiming, because they're trying to rebrand themselves, right? We need to do both. We need to say, oh, you want to be called X, right? All right, no, you're a fucking Nazi, and we know it. We know what you're talking about when you talk about white genocide. You're projecting and saying you want to have genocide on everybody that's non-white. That's what they're saying, because there's no fucking white genocide. The only reason they would bring it up is if they're fantasizing about doing it to other people and needing some excuse.
Yeah.
Anyone who disagrees with them is anti-white, or anti-West, or just cucks, right? Well, you know, fine. Your little America First slogan that you want to carry? Great. It's a Nazi rallying cry. And it was back then, and it is now. Own it. You want it? Own it. That's how that works, and that's what we're here to do. So I agree with you. I don't want other people to just bring, you know, let them use the softer pedal words, right? But they're going to. So the rest of us have to use both words interchangeably often.
No.
You know, co-brand it. They want it. They want it. Let them have it. And I mean, let them have it. Yeah, as we said, the White House is going to be ignoring cases of homegrown extremism. They've said, even though law enforcement has repeatedly said that the ideology of right-wing anti-government extremism, sovereign citizen movements, these types of things, you know, there's the case of the couple, was it in Nevada, where they ambushed two police officers and put swastikas on their bodies after they killed them? These are sick people. There was the guy who was watching Fox News and believing all this, Robert Deer, and he believed all this stuff about selling baby parts from Planned Parenthood. So he went in and had a, you know, killing spree in Planned Parenthood in Colorado Springs, Colorado. The white power couple in Las Vegas. The KKK member who was sentenced just in December to 30 years in prison for conspiring to build a dirty bomb to take his country back and force changes. You know, he thought the government was run or perceived to be favoring Muslims, so he was going to create a dirty bomb to attack Muslims. You know, they don't talk about the Charleston shooter. They don't talk about the Quebec shooter. They don't talk about Elliot Rogers. They don't talk about the people that actually statistically represent a larger threat. Still not likely to die in one of these things, but in a terrorist attack. But when they happen in America, they tend to be, and it's domestic terror, it's one of these. There was a white supremacist in Minnesota who went to a Black Lives Matter march and shot 5 protesters. Gee, I heard about the guy in Dallas. I didn't hear about this guy. How come I'm only hearing about some of these? How come the media, you know, Trump and the White House accused the media of refusing to cover 78 different acts of terrorism. By the way, almost all of them were ones that were, well, 100% of all 78 of them were all examples they cherry-picked that were Muslim. But most of them were extensively covered by the media. And Anderson Cooper responded and said, I was there. I was on the scene after it happened. You can't say we didn't cover it. But nothing in that list was by homegrown terrorism, including white nationalism, white right-wing.
Well, they've closed down the working office that was to track domestic terrorists.
That's right. Yeah. That couple in Las Vegas, by the way, had been people who spent time with the Bundys, the Bundy Ranch people. You know, like, those guys committed crimes and then got off scot-free. Like,
or the trial the Bundys. Is still in progress.
Well, okay, fair enough. But essentially, you know, I mean, one of them got shot. But
God, he was begging for it. I could tell the video on that.
Yeah, and just Trump won't talk about these. They want to talk about these other terrorist attacks, but they won't talk about the ones where they're going after mosques or places of worship. Like that, you know, it seems kind of like you don't really, you're not very religious if you just.
Yeah, you gave a statistic about the real Muslim terrorist acts in the country. It was 0.0%
Yeah, yeah, 0.3%.
And I wonder what that is in comparison to attacks on Muslims.
Well, certainly now with the uptick in hate crimes that's still being calculated after the election and ongoing, I'm sure that's
much greater.
Yeah, well. Anyways, they're claiming, oh, these things are underreported. They're just lying. They're lying. Yeah, there's this man in New York, upstate New York. He was a 65-year-old Tennessee man, Robert Doggart. He allegedly conspired to form a militia and attack a Muslim community. But luckily, this plot was stopped. And many of these plots are, and they're facing trial, so that's good. But, you know, if you're talking, I mean, I'm not the one going around and saying, oh, the media isn't going to cover this. Like, Trump is saying that about how, oh, you're not covering the radical. Yeah, they are. They're not covering these other ones. Now I have to respond and say, yeah, they're not covering these ones. I'm sorry. They're just, I mean, aside from maybe specific cases that are, like, Dylan Roof, right? They're really not covering these. They're covering the ones that are sensationalized, which involve a brown person, right? And, of course, talking about Trump's actions and this war on Islam, right? War against Muslims. Just war. Just total war. We got to talk about the very first counterterrorism effort that the president undertook. The raid in Yemen was a total disaster. As Trump would call it, a botched job. But he wouldn't call it that. It was a total disaster. They're claiming it as a win. An American service member is dead on what was supposed. And they're bragging because it was an intelligence gathering operation. Yeah, it was an intelligence gathering operation where shots were fired and it became a firefight and a service member is dead. Women and children are dead, a young child died, and an American citizen, an 8-year-old American Yemeni girl, was shot dead. Secret Joint Special Operations Command carried out the raid at the end of January. This was not planned like it was meant to happen on this date under Obama. They had basically researched the area and was on a list of, you know, but they had held off based on the intelligence. Like, yeah, they weren't ready to go.
Yeah, they weren't sure that it was safe enough.
I think Trump, Bannon, Flynn, one of these people, Michael Flynn, that said we need to have a quick win.
Well, what happened, I can't name you the person, but who said, this isn't word for word, but very similar, Obama didn't do it. He didn't have the balls to do it. Do you? Yes. Do you have the cojones to do
to
what...
To fuck up based on...
To what, you know, Obama was afraid to do. And he's, well, of course, you know, okay.
Yeah, well, that works. That's how you manipulate our current puppet president. And, you know, Noir, the 8-year-old who died, was suffering. She was shot in the neck. She died suffering after 2 hours. Other children were killed in the house, according to the Yemenis. Yemen, by the way, has a completely different number, as always. This is true under Obama and Bush as well. They say that as many as 51 civilians were killed. The Trump administration is saying it was like 14.
And now they're not going to cooperate with us.
That's right. Yemen does not want us doing any counterterrorism operations in their country now. So good job, Trump. Good job. Slow clap for you, buddy. That's a win all around. Yeah, apparently the SEALs entered house after house, killed everybody in it, including all the women, and then burned down the house. The U.S. government, of course, disputes this account. They did say that civilians were killed. Some were women, but they were actually militants. I don't think they've claimed any children, even though we know that children were killed. But they're lying. They're liars. Sean Spicer, one of the biggest liars, just because he's the mouthpiece for all these lies, he said, oh, this was an intelligence gathering objective, and that was it. That was the only purpose of this. That's not true. And, you know, we got the intelligence. We don't even know if that's true.
That's why they're claiming it.
It's a win, yeah, right. But it was clearly a botched job. The goal of the raid was intelligence. I'm not even going to repeat his lies. He also claimed that the mission was planned under Barack Obama's watch, but according to NPR, the Obama administration identified the town as one of many locations on which they should concentrate. Democrat Al Franken of Minnesota and Chris Murphy of Connecticut joined, actually, with Republicans Mike Lee and Rand Paul, so good for them, demanding classified briefings on what happened in Yemen from Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. I'm sure they'll get some straight shooting from him. They should have asked James Mattis, Secretary of Defense James Mattis, what actually happened. Yeah, I mean, isn't it sad that the most rational, sane person of the bunch is nicknamed Mad Dog? Because he's the one who's like, we shouldn't do torture. Torture doesn't work.
Right.
Right? He's the only one who seems like...
And Trump actually backed off, and he said, although I would do it, I will defer to my general.
From what I've heard is, and actually from my friends who are in the military, he's respected. He's a smart guy. He's, you know, said these things, but unlike Flynn, he never said Islam is a cancer, right? His stuff is kind of this bravado. He said, one of the quotes people love of his is something like, you know, I don't want to do this. You know, I will try to compromise with you, but... Please, I'm coming to you with tears in my eyes. If you fuck with me, I'll kill all of you. In speaking to his military opponents, right? So, you know, tough guy, but gets results. But it seems like at least he's got somewhat of a fucking rational head on his shoulders in some capacity. And, you know, is this 5-star general. He's kind of a celebrity general known for being a straight shooter. And apparently reports came in that Trump, like, was very enamored by that. You know, hey, this guy's so respected. He's like a 5-star in more ways than one in the military. I gotta have this guy. I gotta have him as part of my collector set, right? And that's why he's, for now, listening to him. Probably he had seen him on the shows, right? Because he gets all of his information from the shows. That's what he said. That's what Donald Trump said. Yeah, you're right. Yemen has revoked America's right to send special operations ground forces into their country as a result of the incident. Lying liars. They're just liars.
These, the lies they tell.
And the lies they tell. Sean Spicer said nationwide protests of Trump are not like the Tea Party. These were paid AstroTurf-type movements. That's doubly funny, you see, because it's been revealed that the... AstroTurf, meaning fake grassroots movement.
Oh, okay.
Actually, that was the case with the Tea Party. Groups like Freedom Works now, and people like Richard Dick Armey, former House Majority Leader, right-wing billionaires, Fox News, these people absolutely created an AstroTurf campaign. If they didn't from the ground up, they at least hijacked. Initially, I always point this out. The Tea Party, initially, their whole thing was they were unhappy with the Wall Street getting bailed out.
Right.
A lot like Occupy. Suddenly, it became about immigration and abortion and taxes. And I'm sure they were conservatives and libertarians. They had some of that already. But really, like, that wasn't the main point initially. It was crony capitalism. Right. And
they got hijacked.
They totally got hijacked. Apparently, there was a spontaneous riot in 2000 in Miami-Dade County, orchestrated by GOP strategists to interfere with the presidential vote recount. So this is nothing new. You know, basically, whenever they accuse the other side of doing something, it's because they've done it, they know it, they know it works because they've done it, or they're wishing they could do it. You know, it's all projection with them. 100%. This was apparently in a meeting, a sheriff from Texas who was speaking with Trump, Rockwall County Sheriff, Harold Evenson, said to Trump, "We've got a state senator here in Texas that was talking about introducing legislation to require conviction before we could receive forfeiture money." He's talking about civil forfeiture. You know, right. We're going to come. The police come, just take your shit.
This is how police departments are funding themselves.
Right.
Now.
They're just stealing your shit because a lot of times you're not even convicted or even charged after that. Like, they just take your shit.
And
you don't get it back.
You don't get it back.
Well, this guy's complaining to Trump in a meeting, saying, if that happened, you know, there'd be a monument to him in Mexico. Okay. I guess from the cartels, right? But he said, civil forfeiture. They want to convict people before they take their... They want to actually know that these people did crimes before they take away their things for committing crimes.
Trump, there's no sense in that.
Do you want to know Trump? I have this verbatim. Do you know what Trump's response was to that?
Give it to me.
Who is the state senator? Do you want to give his name will destroy his career?
Yeah, and everybody in the room laughed except him.
Yeah. This is... Nixon wouldn't do that out loud like that, right?
No, he wasn't that stupid.
They say Nixonian. I'm like,
No. I don't know. He wasn't as stupid as Trump. Trump says whatever comes to his head.
Yeah.
Period.
Which is just whatever dumb thought he has. A new book is coming out. Called Explaining Hitler. It's a biography by Ron Rosenbaum, who's a historian. And in a recent column, and he's been speaking about the President Trump and talking about how somebody is using Adolf Hitler's playbook, Mein Kampf, to undermine democracy. He said that this normalization, just these lies over and over, normalizing, it's similar to the Nazis' march to power. What I want to suggest is an actual comparison with Hitler that deserves a thought, Rosenbaum wrote. It's what you might call the secret technique, a kind of rhetorical control that both Hitler and Trump used of their opponents, especially the media. And you just keep lying and you keep throwing bullshit out there to throw them off balance, right? And I saw this described really well. It's, you know, tell a lie that's outrageous. The media will criticize you for it. And then you use the media's criticism of you for it as proof that they're in a conspiracy against you and can't be trusted. It's very similar to the concept of gaslighting. I've used that word on the show before, which is from the movie Gaslighting, where a husband is trying to make his wife think that she's crazy.
Right.
You know, so, she could be committed, but she's not crazy. That's what's happening to the American people right now. And I mean, I don't mean that lightly. I mean, this is a tactic that they're using, you know, just keep everybody on their toes all the time. Like, they'll deal with one thing before they can even deal with another thing, right?
It's shock and awe.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another good way to put it. Oh, my God. Yeah. What else we got here? I mean, it just keeps going. And that's why we have all this news, right? This constant barrage. John Stewart recently in an interview was like, it's like, I thought the president was supposed to age, not the rest of us. He's really a couple weeks in. Oh my God. And it just keeps getting worse and worse. Ron Wyden, Democrat from Oregon. This is one of the guys who's always, you know, on the forefront of fighting for your digital rights and privacy against surveillance. He said the Obama administration should have released more information before the election about this Russian issue.
Yeah.
Right? But he is one of the people who's on the forefront of trying to get the answers on that, as well as many of the other senators and representatives that we mentioned. U.S. National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, this is coming out this week, had apparently discussed the issue of U.S. sanctions with Russia's ambassador weeks before Trump was sworn in as president. That's contrary to what they said, so if it comes out that it's true, then they lied about it, right? U.S. media reported this. The talks took place just as then-President Barack Obama was ordering new actions against Russia, which we covered on the show at the time.
This is blatantly illegal to form national policy outside the administration.
Mm-hmm. And certainly to promise a lifting of sanctions before, you know, it just, even if they just say, oh, it was just casual talk or whatever, there's always going to be a question now of, was it tit for tat? Was it pay for play? What did they get? If they got that, what did you get?
Was it a pit?
Yeah.
Quo pro.
Yeah, there you go.
Which is not tit for tat. They're two separate.
You're right. That's the tits Trump already got in Russia years before. Best in the world. Tremendous hookers. The best prostitutes, I tell you. Believe me. this is from the Washington Post. They reported on these talks. Some senior U.S. officials interpreted Flynn's communications with Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak as an inappropriate and possibly illegal signal to the Kremlin that could expect a reprieve from sanctions. So we're going to need some lawyers to come in and look at this. I know they're at the airports right now. Good for them. But they're going to be so busy. And that's another group that's being shocked and awed right now, right?
Lawyers,
yeah. The few good lawyers in this country. There's even more. Another investigator has confirmed several parts of that 35-page batch of memos that the former British spy who runs a security company now put out, saying, you know, this was the one reporting that... this is from CNN, but the memos written about in Mother Jones as far back as October had allegations of collusion between officials working for Donald Trump and Russian government operatives, allegedly even a server. How ironic, right? The allegations that the Russian government was working to harm the candidacy of Hillary Clinton and boost Trump directly. Friday CNN report said investigators have confirmed that some of the conversations between Russian senior officials and that had taken on the same... on the same day, same locations in those memos. This corroboration, based on intercepted communications, has given U.S. intelligence and law enforcement greater confidence in the credibility of aspects of the dossier as they actively investigate its contents, CNN reported. How many of these stories keep coming out where there's something else that backs up this overall story that I'm not talking about peeing on people. I'm talking about the prior to that that can't coming out. The story that, you know... Russians had something to do. They had their fingers in these pies, the Trump pies, right?
Yeah.
If that's true, I mean, it would explain why this is consistent. All this corroborating stuff is coming out. That would only be the case if it's true, right?
Yeah. Well.
Or there's a massive conspiracy of a bunch of people trying to make it look true. That seems less likely, but okay. It's like the climate change is a hoax made by the Chinese to something or other. I got more. I mean, I'm going to try and get through the rest of them here, Chuck, because I know we got to get out of the bath escape soon because of the heat. But just real quick, here's some. I mean, Kellyanne Conway broke the law endorsing Trump's daughter's thing.
Yeah, right. Turned an interview into an infomercial for Ivana.
It's against the law for her to do that. She was in the White House on... our taxpayer dime while doing it. That's one of the ones everyone's paying attention to. I feel like that's just a distraction.
It is.
Trump is dismantling, he's planning to dismantle Dodd-Frank, take away protections for consumers like you.
Yeah, that's important.
Elizabeth Warren is pointing out that the president's plan is to gut the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Right? So he fucking hates consumers. He fucking hates you, the American people. His disdain for the American people is obvious, and I think finally in these polls we're seeing... that that's the case. But thank God for people like, you know, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and these and people that are fighting against them. I gotta give credit where credit is due. I have many disagreements with Nancy Pelosi in the past, but she went on television and called Steve Bannon a white supremacist like 3 times in a row. So good for her. And yeah, I mean, Elizabeth Warren tried her damnedest to stop that Jeff Sessions appointment for as Attorney General. She read the letter from Coretta Scott King, wife of Martin Luther King Jr., and that letter was in the 80s criticizing the civil rights record of Jeff Sessions, part of the reason that in the 80s Republicans found him too racist to be a judge, right? And also, by the way, that was the 80s. Being too racist in the 80s was a lot worse than what you think of now, right? Back then. So he didn't get better. Did he get better? Are they saying, oh, no, he got better? What? Anyways, she's reading. She's trying to read this letter. All of a sudden, she gets stopped. She's interrupted by a Republican from Montana, Steve Daines, who said, Warren, that letter is a violation of Rule 19 of the Senate. She's using it to impugn another senator, meaning Sessions, despite the fact that the letter had officially, beforehand, been admitted into the record. So, to be read. Right? So, there's nothing against the rules of doing that. She said, I'm not allowed to accurately describe public views of Senator Sessions, public positions of Senator Sessions, public statements of Senator Sessions. She continued, but then eventually Mitch McConnell came to the floor and stopped her and shut her down. Consider this, right? One of the few progressives in Congress, and a woman, tried to read the words of a black woman, civil rights is great, one of the greatest heroes, and the wife of the greatest hero. And Mitch McConnell said, she was warned. She was given an explanation. Nevertheless, she persisted. Mitch McConnell, you idiotic turtle. You could not have given a better rallying cry to women right now. Already, hashtags, t-shirts, hats, like those pussy hats, right? This is a perfect meme. Nevertheless, she persisted. Put it on pictures of, you know, every feminist icon, every civil rights icon, Princess Leia, right? Everybody. Nevertheless, she persisted. Every single person who is fighting for rights and what's right, but is shut down by old rich white men like Mitch McConnell. Oh my God, you're just revealing, they reveal their own incompetence at this every day. That's where this is, we're trying to get some sort of resistance here, right? This is the resistance, this is exploiting these things that they put, these fucking missteps that they're going to continually have because they're overconfident and dumb. But now, specific on the emoluments clause, right? There are already resolutions of inquiry from Congressman Jerry Nadler of New York filed in the first legislative step. You know what that means? Resolutions of inquiry. The first step towards an impeachment.
Oh.
This is happening, not very widely covered in the news. Poll showing, by the way, that registered voters are evenly split, 46% to 46%, over whether or not they support or oppose impeaching Trump. By the way, pro-impeachment, that's up 10 points from just 2 weeks ago. So since inauguration, more than 800,000 people have signed a petition to impeach the president, and grassroots organizing, congressional districts have been calling their everyone should call their representatives and say this is important to them. They absolutely have to do this. Their jobs depend on it, right? And now members of Congress are getting behind this idea that they need to do this. By the way, they're getting inundated right now. They're running away from their constituents at meetings. They can't even answer their phones. The Capitol switchboard is crazy. I called. Do you know the White House has taken away its open comment line?
No, right.
I had to call. There was a bunch of leaked numbers from the White House. I had to call number after number after number. Finally, they routed. I got to one. They routed me through. They got me to the press office. I talked to a person. As I'm sure many people have, talked to the person at the press office. I said, hey, I didn't remember the name of the comment line. probably just called comments. Wasn't there a thing where citizens could call up and make their voices and concerns heard on things? And she said, yeah, well, there's volunteers that can do that on the phone. But the person who manages those volunteers, that's vacant right now. That's what I was told that by a person, right? A human on the other end of the phone. And I said, oh, well, I guess they're not hiring. That's an on-site job, huh? She said, yeah. I said, oh, okay, I couldn't do that over the phone. All right. She said, well, I guess they're looking at resumes now. I'm like, okay. Well, she was nice. She was a pleasant-sounding person. Maybe even one of the people putting out leaks, right? So as far as I know, just some worker at the White House. I was like, okay, well, you have a nice day. Thank you. I registered my complaint was. In that case, specifically, that Trump said, well, of course I'm signing action on to move forward with the Dakota Access Pipeline. I haven't gotten a single call about it. There's no controversy. So I wanted to call, right? It's why there's no calls. Is because there's no way to take the calls. So I called the press the switchboard. But yeah, this is going. There are other things you can do. You can call any of Trump's properties, right? Call up his hotels and casinos and his golf courses and make your displeasure known. There's also a guide, indivisibleguide.com, and this is kind of to help organize people with their meetups and things too. So that's something that people should. Get involved with. Absolutely. If you're not comfortable going to a place and protesting, there's all these things. There's no right or wrong way. Don't hurt people. That's wrong. But, you know, the people who want to put on a mask and break a window, I don't agree with you, buddy, but whatever, as long as you don't hurt anybody. The people who want to be peaceful and, like, join hands on a bridge, awesome, right? People who want to have a direct action or a general strike. There's going to be a general strike organized by the same people who organized the Women's March. There's not a date for that yet, but if you follow the Women's March on Twitter, you can find out about that. I mean, all of these different tactics and subversion techniques and things to stop the Trump administration and their hateful proto-fascist regime. These are valid forms of people need to be doing this and fighting in whatever way they're comfortable. If it's calling and writing letters from home, absolutely do that. You know, we're wrapping up a little bit here, but we've talked about, what, Chuck? Anti-Semitism from them, anti-immigration, what am I missing? Anti-Muslim.
Anti-everything.
They're sexist, they hate the press. Got one more for you.
One more.
I hope you can handle this.
I hope so, too.
Remember how they may have deleted parts of the White House website dedicated to LGBT rights, immigration, climate change, right?
Yeah.
And they're clearly focusing on certain types of terror, not others, and just ignoring others. They're cutting the EPA, and Betsy DeVos is just going to cut the education entirely.
Yeah.
Lady that they put in charge, who has a fourth grade education, is going to cut education for everyone else. So there's just certain things. Big government, right? Drain the swamp. Get rid of all these regulations, red tape. Government is too much. So just, we're not going to let scientists report data anymore. Things are falling through the cracks. Did you know there was a section of the U.S. Department of Agriculture's website that provided documents detailing animal abuse at certain locations around the country that was taken down last Friday without warning? For over 10 years, the government agency posted information on violators of animal welfare laws, the Animal Welfare Act and the Horse Protection Act. This allowed citizens, journalists, nonprofits, animal advocacy organizations, like the Humane Society. Who doesn't like the Humane Society, right? They're humane.
No.
It allowed them to rely on those reports to identify zoos, animal collections, research labs, horse breeders, dog breeders that violated those laws. We're talking about specifically here... the USDA, for example, in a statement said last week, if people want information on certain issues, on this type of information, they're going to have to file a Freedom of Information Act request, whereas before it was put up on their site. The USDA, by the way, we're talking about something in particular here. Puppy mills. Abusive, disease-ridden puppy mills, inhumane conditions, where they die miserably because of the terrible breeding conditions. There's no longer resource. There's diminished resources to fight them now because of Donald Trump. Donald Trump, if you need more reasons to protest, Donald Trump is going to be responsible for the excruciating deaths of puppies. And that's all my news for this week.
Yeah, well, if killing children and American citizens overseas isn't enough.
To kill some fucking puppies.
Let's get them on the puppies.
Yeah. What are we going to do, Chuck?
Oh. I'm going to go back to sleep, wake up, and it'll all be a dream.
No, we can't rest in our laurels. I mean, the protests feel good and all that, but we gotta get out there and really do the work. Definitely rest up. I'm gonna do the same. I'm gonna go back and get my winks and be re-energized for the next time. We cannot abide this terror any longer. We have to prepare and practice self-care. Take care of your emotional health. You know, take a break from the news when you have to, but be back energized and ready to fight every time.
Yeah, we can't let it go any further. That slippery slope gets more slippery the further down you go. This is what he's done in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Just 3 weeks. And that's not even counting weekends, because the guy doesn't work on weekends.
Oh, God.
At the end of 100 days, what is this going to look like?
Well, not America anymore, that's for sure. Well, we'll document all of it, as will these other resources that we're using. So stay part of the resistance. Just keep listening to Mutiny Radio, mutinyradio.fm, and The Stranger in a Strange Land.
With Chuck Weiss. Check out the comedy special that's coming up. Our website, mutinyradio.fm.
Yeah, we have a whole festival coming up.
We have great comics coming in from out of state to perform at this festival. It is that well-known, that well-respected. So if you like to laugh, you need a laugh. We all need a laugh.
I'm sure there'll be political comedians.
Check it out, mutinyradio.fm, and it's a great week of fun.
From comedians around the country, yeah. So we're all in this together, you guys. We're pulling for you. I'm quoting Red Green now. So seriously, though, we're all in this struggle and this fight together. We'll be back next time, and it's late, so we're going to get going, but it isn't tomorrow if you haven't slept yet.
Vive la resistance.